Pop the we might say the meanest things. Pop the sometimes we're not much company. There's no rearranging, our writing remains the same. We remain the same. And as far as we're concerned, Pop the you belong to us. Pop the
hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pop Dose Podcast. I'm Dave Lifton, and this is our 12th episode. That's right, we've been at this for a whole year now. So you may ask, how are we celebrating? Well, by taking the month off. As you know from the last couple of shows, Jeff is out in California destroying his brother's wedding. As for Jason, well, he was, as you know, he was supposed to do that triathlon last month, but I don't think he understood that there was an actual finish line. So he kept on running, swimming, and biking his way around the tri-state area with no direction whatsoever. And apparently he emerged from the Hudson River in Rhinebeck, New York, on the day of Chelsea Clinton's wedding, dazed and wearing only a Speedo. And since he got that mohawk, the Secret Service determined that he was therefore a national security threat and whisked him down to Guantanamo. I guess I'll admit that that Jeff and I tipped them off as to his whereabouts, but he will be missed. By someone, I'm guessing. Now, I'm around, but I am still mentally recovering from having had my mother visit me for a week, although I will say that I am enjoying all the leftovers in my fridge. So without those two available, we're going to do something rather than go a month without an episode. We're going to do something a little bit different. The way our podcast works is that the three of us talk over Skype for about 2 hours. We like the podcast to be free-flowing and full of digressions, but sometimes they don't work for one reason or another, like in the case of a technical glitch, or sometimes I just remove things to keep the show at around an hour, and I remove those sections, and that's how we get it down to the right length. That little tag that I put on at the end of every show comes from something that got cut, but that also means that some great material winds up unheard by anybody except for the three of us. And I've been taking my favorite outtakes and putting them in a separate folder, a digital cutting room floor, if you will, and saving them for an episode just like this one. So here they are, some of the best outtakes from the past year of the Pop Dose Podcast, and I will be back at the end of the show. Enjoy them. Pop
Dose. Can you guys hear me playing with myself over on this end?
Is that what that is?
You'll hear it on my recording.
I thought it was a cat strangling.
You can feel free to edit that out, Dave.
Should we tag that one on at the end?
maybe not. Well, let's see if we get anything better.
Okay. Jeff Giles.
I was thinking of Sting this week.
Why? Why were you thinking of Sting this week?
Because I was listening to the new Josh Rouse.
Okay.
Which it's another bilingual.
Oh,
pain
yeah.
In the ass. And yeah, I was just thinking, we give artists crap for being really commercially, kind of overly commercially conscious, but then at the other end of the spectrum, there are these artists who just don't seem to care that they're making music for anybody other than themselves. And I think Sting and Josh, and probably Josh Rouse at this point, would fall into that category. Because who buys a Josh Rouse record hoping to hear something in Spanish?
Well, I think everything he's done for the past few years has been at least partially Spanish since he moved to Spain.
Exactly. Sucks.
The only difference is that Sting doesn't need the money.
That's right. Sting can do something for himself.
So Sting is a jerk, and Josh Rouse is just dumb. Is that the difference?
I guess so. Or I don't know. There's that fine line between stupid and brave, you know, or you're not exactly sure which one it is, and that maybe that's where he falls. All I know is that anything that Josh Rouse has released since Nashville, I haven't been able to get into.
Exactly. And Nashville was great. That's my favorite Josh Rouse record.
Such an album. John Cummings tried to get me to change my mind and put my vote for one of the best albums of the decade behind 1972 instead.
No, I'm with you. I prefer Nashville.
Yeah, that's a the first five or six songs on that album are just phenomenal.
Everybody loves 1972, but I don't really care about that record. I like Nashville.
Yeah, I like a few songs on 1972, but yeah, Nashville I think is It's the Nighttime and Streetlights. Those are great songs.
In my review, I'm calling him the Lucy Van Pelt of indie singer songwriter.
Why? Because he always pulls the just when you think he's about to do something good, he pulls the football.
Yeah,
away,
you know, Nashville was the football, and then every time after that he comes out with a record, you come running up expecting it to be anything like Nashville, and it isn't. It just fine.
Nashville was the football.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's so good.
He's such a dick. I hope he's listening to this. Josh Rouse, you're a dick.
Okay, I'm recording. Go ahead. Go ahead. What does the Elton John ice cream taste like? What's it called?
What's it called, or what does it taste like?
Well, you tell me either one.
Whiskey, cocaine, gum.
What was that?
Whiskey, cocaine, and cum.
Oh my god!
Such an effort for Dave to get out his jokes about whiskey. I know. Metal. He's trying so hard.
I know. I would love to see Dave Lifton do stand up.
I'm actually working on a routine.
You do all the build up and then
start laughing.
The punchline came to all the audience. You'd be like,
what the hell did
what he say?
It's like Jackie.
He stopped breathing in the middle.
It's like Jackie the Joke Man.
Good night, everybody.
Wait, trust me. This is really, really funny.
Just hold on. Wait, I'm gonna get to it. Well done, Dave. Well done. Hold on. I'm gonna give you a slow clap over here.
That's not a slow clap. That's a that's the rhythm to Heartache Tonight by the Eagles.
I thought we agreed there would be no Eagles in these podcasts.
That's true.
That's my condition.
Michael Bublé's version of Heartache Tonight.
I think Joe Walsh is somewhere under my couch. Wait. Did Michael Bublé didn't cover Heartache Tonight, did he?
Oh, yes, he did. You didn't listen to Dave's appearance on Overnight America.
I didn't have a chance to listen yet. How did that come up?
Read Jack's article about it.
Oh, man. I didn't read that either.
The funny thing is that I did read Jack's article, but I didn't listen to the MP3. It wasn't until I listened to you on the show that I actually heard the awful, awful Michael Bublé version of Heartache Tonight.
Yeah, I saw that, I saw the link to it, and I'm like, no way on earth this is the Eagles song, is it? And then when I was preparing for the show, I'm like, wait a second, I might as well give this a listen to just because it could be so horrible that I could say something about it. It was worse than I would have thought.
I apologize for missing those on Pop Dos and Overnight America. I'm gonna have to go listen now. I have two Michael Bublé songs on my iTunes and I like them. They're good
songs.
Why?
Why do you have those? How did you get them, first of all?
I actively downloaded them because I heard them on the radio or something. I think I was upstate in an area where I did not have. I was outside work. My family has a place upstate, and we were working up there, and we had the radio on because I didn't have access to my iPod or speakers. So I was at the mercy of whatever station my parents were listening to, and what's that name of that song? Home. Do you guys know that song? Michael Bublé.
Home. The only Michael Bublé I've ever heard is his cover of Heartache Tonight, actually.
Really? You've never reviewed a Michael Bublé album?
No.
That surprises me.
I have my limits.
No, you do not. No, you do not. That is a lie.
But not Michael Bublé.
I listened to a lot of shit with you over the past month, and I would say you do not have any limits.
Well, when Michael Bublé disappears for 10 years and then comes back, then Jeff will review it.
That's right.
There you go. You're tuning in to Jason Hare. You know, when I open my cell phone, I go to call one of my friends whose name begins with A. Alan O'Day's number is the first thing that pops up.
Do you ever feel like just like calling Alan O'Day and just saying, hey, how's it going?
I think I totally could.
I think
he's such a—he's such an awesome, friendly guy. I mean, he's genuinely nice. And
hey, Alan, what's up?
Ned, did he write that? Did he actually write that song, or did he just record it? I'd forgotten.
No, he wrote it.
He wrote it.
I spent like an hour on the phone with him one night, and he just kind of wanted to get the entire idea of what Melamus was about.
He wanted to figure out what the fuck we were talking about. That's what he wanted.
But he was totally down for it. That's the thing. Yeah. He was like honored to have been asked, and he was excited about the idea. And you know, I thought what he came up with was pretty clever.
Catchy as hell.
Yeah, very, very catchy.
The damn song is in my head for a month out of the year.
It's back in my head now.
He was great. And then I was writing a Chart Attack about that song by the Righteous Brothers. Is it Rock and Roll Heaven or something?
Something like that, yeah.
No, I can't remember. I'm going to have to look it up to figure it out. Anyway, I had a question about it, and I was like, because he wrote it. He wrote that song. So I was like, how am I going to... I was like, I'm curious about something about this. So I was just like, yeah, you know what? I'll give him a call. And I asked him some questions about the song or whatever. And
that's great.
Rock and Roll Heaven. Yeah, I just called him up to find out an answer about how it was written or so. Oh, there was a rewrite. At one point, the Righteous Brothers did like, you know, Rock and Roll Heaven 02 or something. Something awful like that, you know, that probably mentioned... I don't know if you guys know the song, but it mentions, like, the names of all these, like, you know, rockers that have died, Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and all this shit. I'm just wondering if they rewrote it to be, like, Kurt Cobain. You know? Shannon Hoon.
You should call Alan O'Day and tell him that Wing has a new EP out.
We could get Alan on the podcast.
We could.
Might be fun to talk to Alan.
We could. You think
so? We should
so?
Tell him about... What'd you say?
He said, do you think so?
What, that it would be good to have him on?
That it'd be fun, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I guess we'd have to figure out exactly what we wanted to talk about. I don't know how much our readers would be like, an in-depth interview with Alan O'Day.
2 hours about Undercover Angel.
I think we could all trade stories about your mom, Jason.
Alan O'Day, too?
Yeah. He hasn't? He's the one guy in America that hasn't been with your mom?
I didn't know.
I'd be willing to bet that Alan O'Day would be audibly uncomfortable with that.
Maybe she was the undercover angel.
Yeah, maybe.
My mom might have been the undercover angel.
It'd be more fun to get him on and try to get him to talk shit about, like, Stephen Bishop.
Because he wrote Angie Baby, so we could be like, isn't Helen Reddy an asshole? Let's be honest. She sucks, doesn't she? Just admit it. So we'd be like Howard Stern. Come on. You know you did all the work for that. You did all the work. You got none of the credit. She sucks. Just say it.
We tried to get Wing to record a version of Alan's song, so he's aware of who she is. Maybe we could get him to write up a review of the new Wing EP.
Maybe
what was the EP again? I forgot.
The new EP, it's Wing rapping.
Yeah.
Right.
It's called Stop the Nonsense.
It's called Stop the Nonsense. It's awful.
No, awful, I don't know. I kind of feel like to call it awful does it disservice to awful things.
Jeff and I listened to the 4 tracks on there or something, and we did kind of like a Melamus riff on it, but I wasn't sure whether to put it up on the site or not. And I didn't, I felt weird about, I felt like we couldn't include it without, we couldn't put it up without including the MP3, and there's an odd part of me that just surfaced that doesn't want to take money away from Wing, and doesn't want to, like, you know, put her track up, so, you know,
if I could put up a streaming version. We could put the video.
Of that one song of, I don't remember.
Yeah, and the video was created by the MC, we probably shouldn't call him an MC, but the guy who raps on the song, on one of the songs.
What was his name? Rappy McRapperson?
Something like that, yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's just awful. Wing keeps aspiring to new lows.
And while I was looking for the video for the song that we're talking about, I ended up disappearing down the rabbit hole of Wing videos on YouTube, which is just... It's a dark, dark place.
That's right. That's right. There's a great video. We'll put this in the notes as a great video of her on an Australian or New Zealand TV show singing Beat It.
Yeah, with a glove. And,
yes, she's wearing a glove, and the song just gets away from her, and like she can't catch up. she just can't catch up. She's like, you know this train wreck when it's either in karaoke or when someone's singing along to something, and they're like 2 measures behind or a measure and a half behind.
She's huffing and puffing.
She just can't do it.
And she's got one of those middle-aged lady mullets too.
Yes, she does.
It's just repulsive in every way. The best part of the whole thing is that Jason found out about the EP because Wing emailed him personally.
Yes, she did.
She didn't call him?
No, you have to pay for that privilege.
Oh, okay.
she didn't call. She wrote. She like found an old email that I had written to her that we had been writing back and forth trying to get her to give Alan or to do Alan's song.
Right, we had talked about that on one of the previous shows.
Right, that we wound up not being able to do it because she wanted the song. She wanted to include the song on her next album, which was fine. But she wanted it like royalty free, and I was like, "This starts getting to some sticky legal area, and I don't want to cause problems for Alan." And it's a lot of work for a very silly song, and so she just responded to that email. In fact, I should find it and read it. That would be fun to do for this podcast.
Something about F-words, right? She needs all your F-words to help promote the new record?
Hold on, I'm looking for it in my email, and then I will read it. It's going to be hard for me to search for because she misspells every word.
Including your name.
No, she didn't do that. Yeah, there's one email where she called me Hasten. Jeff loved that.
I do. I still
love it. Hi, Jason. Wing's first rapping project... Stop the Nonsense with an exclamation point before the title. Out now. Wing need your support on her first rapping recording project. You can get it on iTunes.
Wait a second. I just want to say that I think Stop the Nonsense may be the absolutely most ironic, unintentionally ironic album title ever.
Wing need your support on her first rapping recording project. You can get it on iTunes searching bar and type Stop Smoking Cracks. or get the CDs on my site, and she lists the website, or Rappy McRapperson's site. The song had been up in the comedy, comody, chart in iTunes as number 52 on the first day of selling on 11/May. It's all your effort. But it needs your effort to keep it up in the chart to benefit all those who want to stop the nonsense and know they are cared. We are always by their side to give them support. Thanks very much, Wing. Didn't I write back to Wing? Didn't I write back to one of her emails as Hasten? I think I did, but I can't remember.
Isn't Stop Smoking Cracks your mother's tramp stamp?
Nice. You know, we should get Wing on the podcast. That would be a surreal experience.
We have to pay $15. That would be worth $15.
She would. She'd want to get paid.
Yeah. I would pay to get Wing on the podcast, but I don't know if I'd pay for the effort of trying to work out the whole details about Skype and recording. That seems like that's too much.
Imagine Wing on Skype.
Here's what I wrote to Wing when I sent her the Melamos lyrics. If you want, Wing, after he says, "Mommy, what's that glistening in the snow?" you can say, "Don't touch that, that's reindeer poop," but you don't have to.
I keep waiting to find an MP3 of her doing the Melamus song, just like without talking to anybody about it.
Like she just decided to do it. She needed a new project.
Yeah, well, I mean, at first, didn't she? She wanted some outlandish amount of money, like you know, $75 or something.
she wanted 100 something, or maybe it was 200, but I got her down to 50.
And then didn't you get her down to doing it for free?
No. I don't think so. I think I got her. I told her I would give her $50, and she said, "I'll do it for $50, if I can have the song royalty free." And I just kind of I was like, I don't think I can explain this to her in any way. So, you know, that's kind of where that ended.
There you have it, gentle readers.
I stopped the nonsense.
Wing, stop the nonsense at all digital retailers now. And you really have to see the cover art to believe it, too. It's got like, isn't her name spray paint graffitied on the on a wall behind her?
I don't know. I'll have to look. Let me see. I forget where I downloaded it. I forget if I downloaded it here or somehow I have it at work and I'm not sure. I think I bought it on eMusic or something.
There are like angels or dolphins or something on the wall behind her.
So basically what you're saying is that this makes the Ethel Merman disco album seem like Pet Sounds.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this makes Liza Minnelli's cover of Single Ladies.
Single Ladies.
Sound like Pet Sounds.
Oh.
But at least that, you know, that was done with intention. In the intention of the directors of Sex and the City 2 meant that for camp and ironic purposes. You know, whether or not Liza got the idea, got that it was...
Yeah, I was going to say, it's always hard to tell with Liza what's intended to be campy.
Dave likes Liza right. Minnelli. Dave likes Liza Minnelli.
Well, she was great on Arrested Development.
She was great on Arrested Development. That is totally true.
I sent Jason the link. Somebody put a YouTube video of the of Liza's version of Single Ladies up, and I sent him the link. And his first response was Lucille too.
Yeah. The funniest thing, when you first saw Arrested Development, and the first episode where she was, when she came out, and it's like, you knew you weren't watching Lucille too. That was like a situation where like a person was being a cameo while playing an actual character.
Uh-huh.
You know, because with it, the very notion of having Liza in that role meant that you were bringing to it everything that we knew about Liza, as opposed to seeing her actually, seeing her as a different character. You know what I'm saying?
For the beginning, but you didn't fall into it as she continued, because I stopped thinking about it being Liza Minnelli.
Oh, I couldn't.
I definitely did. I thought she was just so crazy, and her relationship with Buster was just so so beautiful. I really thought it was great.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, let's play poker tonight. We could trade my anxiety medication for your vertigo pills. Okay, so I've got a story that you guys will appreciate. A few weeks ago, I bought a jacket. A windbreaker that I kind of needed. A few days ago, I'm wearing it around town. And, you know, looking fine. And in my stylish windbreaker. And I see a guy walking up the street, across the street. He's walking the opposite direction. And he's wearing essentially the identical jacket. Same color scheme and all that. It's just, like, slightly different. There's only one problem. The dude was in his 70s.
Aww.
and I'm just thinking, you know, you guys are like always busting on me for feeling old, for being old, and it's like for the first time in my life, I actually felt like I was aging right then and there.
Aww. Now I feel bad for all those cracks I've made about you being old.
And he's like walking bent over, just like you know, and stoop, just like I do and stuff. And had like his little, you know, Hawkeye Pierce hunch and stuff.
Aww.
We need to come up with some way of making Dave feel young again. Or we could take him to Coney Island or something.
Could go to Navy Pier and, you know, ride the Ferris wheel.
Oh, I thought you meant we could take him to Coney Island. He could go wish on that machine from Big.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that you had such an experience. I'm not really. Not really. It does make for a good story.
Did you push the guy over and take his jacket?
Then you would have two.
He was a little shorter. He was a little shorter than me. It wouldn't have fit.
Huh?
There's nothing worse than an angry janitor.
Yeah, exactly. Ask Jeff's mom.
Oh. You're getting in some good ones today.
This episode is the revenge of Jason. Like, I've been taking mom jokes for the past 3 months. Damn it, I'm not going to take any more.
Jason's been laying in wait.
Just like his mom lays in wait.
She never has to wait for long.
I've been shut down again. All my good jokes just canceled out by yours.
Dynamite.
Nice.
This one goes out to all our hipster fans. Thank you for listening to Popo's. You suckers, now fuck off.
I just got an email from the guy who designed the cover for Randy Newman's Born Again.
Okay.
You know the cover of that album?
I can't say I do.
It's the notorious one. It's the notorious cover where his face is painted.
Like a clown?
Kind of.
I'm just looking at images.
Okay,
now.
I see it.
Yeah. Anyway, he's one of the guys that I'm trying to set up an interview with for Uncovered, and he agreed to do it and sent me a picture of himself next to Randy Newman, and they're both sticking their tongues out of the camera.
So is he being a member of Insane Clown Posse or Kiss?
Well, I think that was like 1980, so probably Kiss.
Okay.
I'd be very surprised if Randy Newman knew who Insane Clown Posse were.
Wouldn't it be great if he did, though?
I don't know what he...
Wouldn't it be great if he was their ghostwriter? No, I don't have any of the songs off of this album.
I still haven't gotten into Randy Newman. I know I will at some point.
I know Randy Newman a lot. I have a lot of respect for him. But at the same time, I can only listen to him for, 20 minutes at a time.
You guys are both stupid.
I won't argue that point.
Randy Newman is a genius.
He is, but it's just not always what I want to hear.
My brothers both think there's a Family Guy episode where they make fun of Randy Newman.
Yes.
Yes, it's amazing.
Everybody I know thinks that's so funny. I don't find it amusing. Right foot.
Well, sitting on a log.
Batman. Batman walking towards me.
I just don't think that's funny. Why pick on Randy Newman?
Because they had somebody who could do it a Randy Newman impression.
Holy shit. He's ever done that sold worth a goddamn was either that stupid
Short
novelty
people.
Song or stuff for Pixar, and he's written some incredible songs.
Don't forget, I love L.A.
And I love L.A. That's right, yeah.
But I did love his line after what he said after the controversy surrounding Short People.
Well, didn't he thank them?
He said maybe those little bastards were right after all.
I find that offensive.
Oh, you're not that short. It's okay.
Thank you. I don't know if that's a euphemism, but thank you either way.
My mom says you're really short.
Wait. Nice. Reverse Wait. Mom joke. I like that. Well, I had to think about it in my head. I did the math. Jeff, didn't you play Randy Newman song at your wedding?
Yeah, actually, our
it feels like
first,
home, right?
Yeah, that was our first dance.
Oh, wow, that's nice.
And it was
fucking good.
You're very good.
I'm good.
If you had asked,
I remembered your fucking wedding dance.
Yeah.
Now, what was yours, Jason?
What was my wedding dance song?
Yeah, besides the Indigo Girls.
It was the same song. Our whole wedding was centered around Power of Two.
How many times did you make people listen to it?
Well, the lyrics were in the. Oh my God! Well, let's see. Okay, so a few lines from it were in our invitations. The lyrics were in our program. We sang it at our ceremony, and then we danced to it for our first dance because we couldn't think of another song that we wanted to dance to.
That's see, Dave
been
thought
like our song.
Dave thought and we had this bet before the show. Dave thought that your first dance as a couple was YMCA.
I wanted in the Navy. But
you can still join.
But she wouldn't go for it.
Have you ever seen this book? Jason, you might have seen it. It's called Bar Mitzvah Disco.
I've read it from cover to cover, my friend.
That really means something, too.
Yeah, because I don't know how to read. I knew this is where you were going, by the way.
A very old family friend of mine is on the cover.
Oh, really?
Yes, he is Jeff, this is it's kind of like a coffee table size book, and it's basically pictures of bar mitzvahs from 1967 to like 1984.
No, it's past there. It's like mid 90s. It goes up to like the early 90s.
Okay. but like, you know, and most of them on Long Island or New Jersey, you know, the tri-state area, and all the crazy shit that would go on there. And the foreword of the book is written by the lead singer from the Village People, who wrote the most important song in the history of Judaism. Or who sang the most important song, because YMCA has played at every single bar mitzvah.
So this is your friend here on the cover?
Yeah.
This little schmuck in the blue tuxedo?
this little schmuck.
When he was 13, I met him when he was 18, and right. I was 8. He's a very dear friend of the family.
I love this on the cover, with a foreword by the Village People.
Yeah.
I think they say in the foreword that they don't really know anything about Judaism, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Dave, but that book, there were some pictures in that book that rang a little too close to home.
Very much so. It's funny because I had seen it at my mother's house a few years ago, and I'm like,
that's where I saw it.
I know, I was walking into that, but I had mentioned it on my blog one time. Just because I just saw it and I just thought it was really funny. And I'm like, Ma, what are you doing with this? And she's like, well, that's Michael on the cover.
That's
and
funny.
I'm like, really? So, yeah.
I mean, some of the pictures there are so awkward. And are either ones that remind me of my own pictures or of, like, friends of mine. Like, I was right. Like, oh, you totally pose like this with your stupid three-piece suit on with your leg leaning up on a tree limb.
Yeah,
you know, and, or you know, the, like with all these girls around you that you have no idea what to do with.
Yeah, they could have very easily been, you know, taken from my high school, from my junior high school.
This review talks about how the book reminds people of the unmistakable smell of the smoke machine and the sound of Lionel Richie, which I think it's like Thursday night at Jason's apartment.
I would also say it also reminds me of the taste of Shirley Temple's.
Yeah.
When I was 12, my dad told me, he was like, you can have a bar mitzvah or you can have a car when you're 17 or 18 years old. Now, looking back, obviously, I made the wrong decision.
You chose the bar mitzvah? What is wrong with you?
When you're a kid growing up on Long Island and every single one of your friends is having a bar or bat mitzvah.
And has a car.
No.
Doesn't matter. You're not thinking ahead 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just not.
Dave knows exactly what I'm talking about. You're just like, it's a social thing. It's, you have to have one in order, because otherwise you are not, kids are so desperate at that age to just be the center of attention for like a day, because everybody, you know, because everybody's going through this awkward stage in their lives. And it's like, if you don't get to have that day, I felt bad for the Catholics. But, you know, you had to have that day. There was no question about it. And I look at it now, and the money that is blown on these events. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just absolutely ridiculous. And now, of course, I'm like, I should have taken the car. But then you had to have it.
Absolutely right.
You remember memory glasses, Dave?
No, that was probably after my time.
They hadn't invented glass yet.
That's correct.
This is
drinking out of stone cups.
Yeah, right. The memory stone.
All the existing glass in 1982 went into my eyewear.
Dave's great grandfather was the original circumcision.
No, what was the memory glass? Maybe we had a different name for it.
The memory glass was when a bunch of your friends, or the people who you thought were your friends, but really you just invited because they were the cool people to invite to your bar mitzvah. They would take a whole bunch of stuff from your party, the glitter, the little party favors, a balloon and whatever, and they would stick it in a glass with a little, maybe a little bit of water, and then they would drip candle wax over the whole top of it so it's sealed. And then you would have a glass with like little memorabilia and stuff from your bar mitzvah. And then
awful.
You would keep that thing. It was so stupid. Then you'd keep it there in your house for like 4 years until you went to college and you realized, wait a minute, the people that made this weren't my friends.
No, we didn't have that. That must have been a North Shore thing.
Oh, yeah, yes, it was clearly just a North Shore thing.
You keep it until you get married and then you step on it, right?
Then you get a foot full of glass and little pieces of balloon and glitter. And you missed out, Jeff, not having a bar
mitzvah. I guess I did, growing up with Mormons. I don't do anything fun except for play volleyball.
Hey, wait. Wait, guys, I have an idea. I have an idea. You ready?
What?
Papdos Bar Mitzvah. Let's throw Jeff a Bar Mitzvah. A Papdos Bar Mitzvah. We'll make him a memory glass with, like, little bits of Benny Mardones CDs. A hair from Michael McDonald's beard. Christopher Cross's chalupa.
Can I find a blue tux, a blue ruffled tux? Do they still rent those?
Your mother's underwear.
No, she doesn't wear underwear.
Obviously, next to her
it
teeth.
Sticks to the merkin. It's like Velcro. It's unsightly.
The edible Velcro merkin. That's a band name right there.
I would love to have a bar mitzvah. That's very sweet of you.
Yeah, I'd give you one.
Maybe Alan O'Day can play the bar mitzvah. Maybe he'll do a set.
Alan O'Day would definitely do that.
And Wing.
Well, of course. You can't have Alan O'Day without Wing.
Andrew Gold should technically be the singer instead of Alan O'Day.
This broadcast is probably endorsed by 5-time Grammy Award winner Michael McDonald.
Jeff, have you ever heard of Pollen Storm?
Pollen Storm?
Yeah. They're a comedy music duo. I'll have to send this to you. They have a routine where every movie could be made better if it had a Randy Newman theme song. And they've done it like for a whole bunch of movies. And actually, this was great because a couple of years ago, at the same time that you were doing Melimus in 2008, they were doing the exact same thing, but every day was a different Randy Newman theme song.
Oh, I saw that. I remember that.
Yeah. So I'll send you a few of them. They're really, really funny.
All right.
I remember that.
Hey, Jason, did you see... speaking of Melimus, did you see that Wilson Phillips is putting out a Christmas record, supposedly?
No.
Oh, yes.
No, but did you...
And by no, you mean... No!
I hope they record it and Carney sounds like she's eating candy canes the whole album. It sounds like my thank you Jesus from last episode.
Thank you Jesus.
No, did you see that Indigo Girls are recording a Christmas album this year?
Really?
Yep.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, you know what? That might not be that bad.
They're inspired by Melissa Etheridge.
No, they're probably inspired by Mary Chapin Carpenter. You better hope they were inspired by Mary Chapin Carpenter. You know? No, that may not be bad.
I was just thinking from one lesbian to another, that's all.
Oh.
Which is, incidentally, the title of the Indigo Girls box set.
I will hope against all hope, you know, that the Indigo Girls Christmas album is good.
Yeah, you can hope.
I will.
I'm just hoping it's better than the Jeannie Francis Christmas album.
Still sitting in the shrink wrap.
Not for long.
It's probably going to be the only CD that would ever melt if it would like stand out of the shrink wrap. Not only is it like a CDR, it was made with like, you know,
biodegradable budget, corn.
Really budget CDRs that you get at a... At, right. not even at Staples or Office Max, like your discount, you know, like Walmart CDs or something.
Made from old SunChips bags.
The label on it says Jeannie Francis, but it's under that is the word verbatim crossed out. The CDR brand. I heard
it's
you want
the verbatim label, yeah.
Right, yeah. I heard you wanted to name her album, her Christmas album, verbatim. Just so she didn't have to cross it out and spend all that time wearing down Sharpies. Oh, that's a good Melimus joke. We'll have to remember that one. I'm glad you picked something that is not brand new, because I'm going to do the same thing. I went and rediscovered an album that I heard a couple of years ago, by a band called the Gabe Dixon Band.
The Beatles.
The Beatles. Called the Gabe Dixon Band. Actually, I found
Gabe Dixon Band. I gave that to you.
You sure did. Yeah, you did. Actually, what happened recently is that, and this is my obligatory Michael Parr mention on the podcast. Michael Parr, Acoustic 80s. Michael Parr, Acoustic 80s. Michael Parr sent me an album last week or something that he thought I would like, and indeed I did. It was very good, and it made me think of this album by Gabe Dixon, which I hadn't listened to in a while, and I went back and listened to it. Gabe Dixon Band is a trio, guitar, bass, and drums. Sorry, piano, bass, and drums. What the hell am I talking about? Piano, bass, and drums. No guitar. And yeah, Jeff, actually, the funny thing is you sent it. I was looking this up today before the podcast to see if I indeed had gotten it from you. And you had sent it to me. You said, oh, this publicist has been bothering me about listening to this
right.
album.
I remember this now.
And you sent it to me, and I loved it instantly, and I played it. And as I was playing it, Jessica came in and she said, this sounds like the kind of album that Jeff got from a publicist and sent to you because he thought you would like it. Which I couldn't believe. It was like she must have been looking over my shoulder or something like that, but she completely nailed it. It's just, the guy's got a beautiful voice. He's a fantastic piano player. And he's got some, you know, I'm a sucker for really great melodies. He's got some really great catchy ones.
There's some good songs on there. I like that song. The one that always pops into my head is All Will Be Well.
I love that song so much. There's a brilliant line in the... it's not the chorus. I guess it would be the pre-chorus. It's a... And all the children walking home past the factories... Oh, fuck. I can't do it. We're going to have to edit that.
You thought that we were drunk.
I know. Jason's made more mistakes than we have.
Maybe I should start this over again. I've been stumbling all through this endorsement. I want to start over. I want to do over. I don't need
all right,
no, it's fine. I don't need to do over because I have to tell a story again. But I'm so tired, guys. Sorry.
Gabe played keyboards and sang backing vocals on nearly every track of Paul McCartney's Driving Rain album.
Here's Jeff trying to save my ass.
Isn't that funny? I never would have guessed. Partially because I fucking hate that record.
Which was... I'm trying to remember what was... Because, I mean, I pretty much stay away from McCartney's solo career. Cause, I mean, I got the opportunity to review Memory Almost Full, so I heard that. But
that was a vast improvement over Driving Rain.
Okay.
I don't recall.
When did that come out? Like 2003 or something?
I think it was 2001.
What was the one song on Driving Rain is the first track off the album?
The only song title that I remember from that is, what is it, From a Lover to a Friend or something like that?
No, there's another one I'm thinking of.
Isn't Freedom on that record, too?
Well, that wouldn't have come out in 2001. That wouldn't that have come out later?
It could have come out late 2001.
I think the album came out, and then he did that shitty, shitty song for the benefit, and then I think they tacked it on to kind of like Michael McDonald's Sweet Freedom.
You are right about From a Lover to a Friend. There's another song on here I thought was... I can't remember. Yeah,
it's a dull, dull, dull fucking record.
I didn't listen to it. But I do know that this Gabe Dixon album is really, really nice. All Will Be Well is good. The line is... I looked it up. And all the children walking home past the factories can see the light that's shining in my window as I write this song to you. And I love that line because I feel like as it starts, you have no idea where he's going with it. It goes like two or three different places before it actually gets to the point.
I like how the chorus resolves.
The lyric, lyrically?
Yeah, just that little touch.
Yeah.
You know? And melodically, too. He says, you know, all would be well. And then at the end, he says, you can ask me how, but only time will tell, which is, you know, not especially profound. But the way he does it, I always like.
What's more profound than Sammy Hagar saying, only time will tell if we stand the test of time?
That is true.
Anything on Only Time Will Tell by Asia.
That lyric that you quoted, Jeff, has actually resonated with me at times. You know, when things are rough and you're like, you want someone to tell you that it'll all be okay, even if they're not sure how it will be okay, but it will. So
that's when I catch myself humming the melody to that song, actually.
When you feel that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be totally honest, I've got this triathlon on Sunday, and I've been rocking a foot injury since the season started in February. I've been rocking it since November, and it's been very difficult for me because every time I gain a little bit of ground training for the run, I re-injure my foot, and then I'm out again. And so at this point, it's like I've raised a lot of money, and I've come a really long way, but I still actually don't know how it's going to turn out on Sunday. And so this is a lyric that is especially kind of hitting me right now.
Would it help if I showed up and brought a one of those vuvuzelas?
If you brought a wheelchair, it would be great.
A wheelchair? And a fresh air cast?
A wheelchair would be great. If you would just jump out with a wheelchair and just start wheeling me down Central Park, down Park Drive, that would be great. Anyway.
Right.
Anyway.
I've got the lyric here. It's, Christ, my foot hurts. Oh, God, won't somebody please make the pain go away?
The brightest ring around the moon will darken when I die.
The fuck is all this shit? Now you guys are drunk. I got all personal there for a minute about my injury and all this shit. You guys are assholes. Suck my dick. You guys suck.
You're leaving now. It's in your eyes.
All right, Jason, what's the lyric? What's the lyric?
I already told you the lyric.
He gave it to us, you dumbass. What are you doing?
Oh, okay.
Another great song on there.
I thought that was a different lyric that he was talking about.
There's a I don't know if we should use that one for the tag out of this portion. There's another great song called Five More Hours, which just has a great piano lead line, and it's just a great
album. Which
spent
sex with Jeff's mom.
I want a do-over on this whole endorsement. I'm going to endorse something else instead. I think I seriously want to redo this whole thing. I'm not happy with any of this. This has been awful.
So what's going to happen when you start falling behind on Sunday? You're going to ask for a do-over than triathlon?
I don't know what's going to happen. Are you going to learn how to speak correctly?
Hey, I'm not asking for a do-over.
No, but you'll edit it out. All right.
Remember what I said before.
You know what? Fuck Gabe Dixon. Here comes my new one. You ready? Everyone be quiet. We're going to punch this in. Ready? This month, I would like to endorse... What are you guys laughing at? I'm punching this in. Shut up. I'm punching it in. Ready? Here we go. Here we go. Now this podcast finally gets good. All right. Here we go.
And all the children walking home past the factories can see the light that's shining in my window as I write this song to you. And all the cars running fast along the interstate can feel the love that radiates, illuminating what I know is true. You've broken to yourself. All will be well. You can ask me how, but only time will tell.
And that's going to do it for this Outtakes episode of the Pop Dose Podcast. Before I go, I want to say thank you for being with us over the course of this past year. A podcast without listeners is essentially an hour-long circle jerk, so we genuinely appreciate all the downloads and the links and the retweets that we've gotten. We love getting together to do this every month, and to find that so many of you look forward to it as well makes it even more worthwhile. As always, you can find links to everything we talked about today in the show notes over at popdose.com. And while you're there, read the reviews and articles that we have up there. Subscribe to the RSS feed so that you don't miss a thing. And you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/popdose. And if you're new to the show, go over to iTunes and download the previous 11 episodes. While you're there, please leave a review of the show so that it gives us greater exposure. And if Jason makes it back from Gitmo safely, we will be back with an all-new show next month, and we will see you then. Bye.
Because this is probably the first time that I've talked to you while you're drunk and you're not right in front of me. I don't know what to do about that.
Come on.
I'm going to have to pinch my own nipples.
I have because no recollection of doing that.
Because, listeners, that is exactly what Jeff Giles does when he is drunk. He goes for my nipples. It's totally true.
It's those tight shirts you wear.
I can't help it that I got a nice looking chest. It's not my fault.
I think we have an entire episode of tags.
And no actual content.
Right.
Oh, well.